Lord, open up your word to us. Reveal your word to us. Lord God. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that we leave here different than when we came in. You continue to work within us. God bless. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, it's a beautiful day out. Beautiful. We're on, still here, visiting on faithfulness and truthfulness. Maybe we'll wrap it up today. We've gone through the aspects of God's faithfulness and his truthfulness. We've described what the definitions of faithfulness is and that of the biblical sense and human faithfulness would be. And talking about that for the last couple of weeks. And so I think we find ourselves in the area, and I want to look at some areas of, because the one thing about it is, as faithful as God is to us, remember I've said he wants us to do what? Be faithful to him. It's like, yeah, you know, what he has done and expects from us. And so we need to be living that. We need to be working on that. And there's scriptures and there's stories throughout his word that helps us. I've got papers, as it's prolonged itself, I keep digging and finding more things. So now I've got like three different piles of stuff up here. And I don't know, we'll try to intersect it all somewhere along the line, or at least God will. Amen. And we know that the importance of being faithful. Human faithfulness in the Bible is listed as the fruit of one of the fruits, right, of the Holy Spirit, and we addressed that. It talks about that of our faithfulness being loyalty and devotion and a commitment to God, meaning that we trust and obey him even in the very difficult of times in our lives. As believers, we're called to be faithful in our service and keeping our word to him. We are faithfulness in us to demonstrate a steadfastness to that of God. Human faithfulness involves reflecting his character by us being reliable and trustworthy in our relationships with others. That's how some of this plays out. It's how do we show that to him? Well, we show it to him by showing it to what? Others. Another word for that of faithfulness in the Bible would be loyalty and trustworthiness and reliability and steadfastness, consistency. But there's so many examples within our Bible, right? We find many examples that are given to us. Noah's obedience in Genesis, about Noah building what? The ark. He listened to God's precise instructions. When you go through and read about Noah and how God laid out what he needed to do, it just blows your mind sometimes because God had it down to the inch, to the height, to what to use, to how to do it. And Noah was so faithful in following the precise instructions that God entrusted to him. What about Abraham? Called by God to leave his home for an unknown land. We look at Abraham that showed profound faith. We know the story of Abraham, don't we? His ultimate test came when, what did God ask him to do? To sacrifice his son. A son that he had waited for so long. A son that hadn't been given to him until way up in his years and Sarah's years upon this earth. But that is faithfulness. But the faithfulness that Abraham was showing when he was about ready to do the sacrifice shows how God's faithfulness steps in too in that picture, right? How he stopped him at the last moment and provided a lamb in the thicket to replace his son. Now, we go through a lot of that, and I've heard over times, and maybe you as well, that, you know, if Abraham was thinking, because he said, you know, through his son, there would be many. And so Abraham had to kind of think like, well, if through my son Isaac, there's going to be many, how's this going to work if I kill him? So was Abraham assured that somehow God will show up and God will take care of it? I think we don't know, and it's like we in our own lives and the things that we go through, that it's not like we're sacrificing, but sometimes we sacrifice some of our times with that of serving God. We sacrifice things that we would do on our own and things for ourselves. Sometimes that's a sacrifice, right, to serve God. It's kind of silliness to think, but sometimes even coming out to a church service is a sacrifice. Because you got to leave your family, you got to leave your home, you got to leave. Sometimes the family's got a big thing going on, or you got a big event taking place, or whatever. And for you, and maybe the God has spoken to you, and it's like, I need to really be there, so I'm going to go, and I'll be there afterwards, or whatever the case might be. Those are sacrifices, and God knows the outcome, and God knows what's going to take place. But I would encourage all of us to have that faithfulness to fulfill what that of God has asked you to do. And I'm not calling anybody to say, like, you shouldn't stay with family. I'm just saying, follow God. Hear what God is telling you. That's why he's such an individual God. Some of us will say, I'm going. Others will say, I've got to take care of this. And it's between who? Them and God. I'm so thankful that it leaves me out of the mix. I don't have to worry about it, you know. But God is God. And God knows everything. But just be faithful in the things. And our sacrifices may not be sacrificing our firstborn and our son or whatever. It's things within our own life, daily, monthly, whatever the case is. What about Job's endurance? Satan tested Job's faith by destroying his family, his wealth, and yes, even his health. Despite that, and the friends, and even his wife said, how can you still serve him after all that he's done? But Job had that faith. He held on fast to his integrity and trusting in God's goodness. We read of David's devotion, a young shepherd. David showed faith by defeating the giant Goliath. We know that story, don't we, about how he was chosen, the little out of all. And it's like, this little guy, he's going to go and slew the giant. But David had a boldness about him because he knew who he was in that of God. He knew who God was in him. And God had prepared him even by that of watching the sheep in the fields, of taking care of them and protecting them from lions and wild animals that wanted to destroy and kill the sheep. But David had that boldness. He had that strength. He had that ability to protect. And he knew how to do it. He knew God was on his side. And we have to know today in our own very lives here that, do you know God is on your side? We shared a little bit in Sunday school hour about, you know, the Tower of Babel and all this. And then we got into the things of where we're at as a society and where things will go as we go further down the road of destruction, really, and as things come to the timetable of what God has. But that even for us today and seeing some things with our eyes, physical eyes, and sometimes with our spiritual eyes, to understand things that are taking place. But I've got to believe, and I'm assured of this, that God will take care of us, or take care of me, or take care of my family, or take care of whatever, as he finds us being Tim, what? Faithful. As he finds you, faithful. He is surely to be there for those times. And I know it looks bad around us, and we hear crazy things, and we want to sometimes get caught up in the preparedness of things, and I've shared that if God has told us to do these and that and prepare whatever that is, do it, because God has told you. But just because he's told you and he hasn't told somebody else, we don't go and tell everybody else to prepare because this is what's happening. It's like they should be able to see it, you know. But we all live according to what God is doing and working within our own individual situations and our own circumstances. And where our level of maturity is with him, or maybe where our level of immaturity is with him, right? Maturity and immaturity. We're working on the scale of where we're at with him and how much we have grown through him. And so we got to keep coming back to the well. We got to keep coming back to His Word. We got to keep coming back into the very scriptures that we have read over and over and over to refresh ourselves, or maybe to glean something additional out of those scriptures that God, by the Holy Spirit, reveals to us at that time, because now He says, you have matured to understand this now. And I'm going to enlighten you even further. The Lord wants to keep enlightening us. We have not arrived, right? I've not arrived. You've not arrived. We are still on this wonderful journey. Isn't it a wonderful journey with God? With God on my side. Oh, I'm on that road to glory. And God is there and He's leading me and guiding me. But on this road, too, to get to that level of glory, I'm going through this life and this world to get there. And though all things fall beside me and behind me and around me, my God is still there to hold me and to support me and to bring me through it. The same with you as He's looking at our faithfulness. Daniel's courage about a practice of prayer. Remember Daniel when the king there says, I don't want you to say anything but pray to me. Daniel had something else to do. He was faithful to his God. And we find in that Daniel maintained his practice of prayer even when it meant facing what? A den of lions. God honored his faithfulness by a miraculous saving him. We think of the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How they stayed true to their God, their faithfulness to their God, to what they were called to do. And yet the leader, the overseer of that society said, if you don't do this and bow down to me, I'm going to throw you into what? The fiery furnace. As we look at all of these men, and there's women that we can talk upon, like Ruth's or Esther's bravery and the things that they did, throughout Scripture, as God has showed His faithfulness, He's also given us people to look at human side of faithfulness to say, now, this is their faithfulness. Can I count you in as far as what they endured? Will you endure during your time upon this earth? Now, we're living much later in life, of course, than where these individuals were, but God is still God, and we still go through situations. And those three, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, they weren't alone. When we go through things in this life, you're not alone, are you? God is with us. He says He will not leave us. And so I think as we go into different situations and elevations of time with God, and we see His results with us and our results with Him, it builds us even better to say, I trust you, God. His truthfulness, His faithfulness, my faithfulness, and the truth that I say to Him, Lord, I'm here for you. We've got to tell Him that. And one time is not enough. I think just like that of telling those around us that we love them, it's not enough just to say it one time. We got to reaffirm it, right? I know the old adage of husband and wife, it's like after being married for, 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years, the wife would say, you never tell me you love me anymore. And the husband would say what? I told you back when I married you, and I said, I do, I love you. I'll let you know if it changes. It's like, well, okay, honey, that's kind of good to know. You'll let me know, but would you reaffirm it every decade, maybe? I don't know. Would you reaffirm it with me? You know, who not here does not love to hear somebody say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I've done a poor job of that, but I've tried to do more of that within my family. My daughters, my sons, especially my grandkids. And it's so, when I hear a grandchild, after I drop them off, after picking them up from school, and they get out and they go, love you, Papa. Say it again, what? I will go around the block and, hey, say it again. No, but it said something about, I love you. Love you. I go, I love you too. See, people don't hear that enough. And society has gotten us that way. It's just like it's really hard out there. Life is really hard. And it's almost like a word that we don't want to say. Because sometimes there's so much involved in that. And I don't mean just to say it, because it's a word to say, like, good morning. Well, yeah. Well, somebody's going to say, what's so good about it? Well, okay. Good to see you. What's so good? I don't know, you know, people get kind of irate on some of that stuff. But that's part of that. Remember I said earlier about how we show that faithfulness to God and some of that by how do we show it to those around us? By showing His love. That's being faithful to God. Ruth's loyalty demonstrated loyalty to her mother-in-law, Naomi. I don't know if that was in Sunday school. I think we shared that or somewhere recently about Naomi and to the people of God, which ultimately led her to her inclusion in the lineage of King David and Jesus. See, we never know what our faithfulness will lead us into. We never know what that little time of our life at that particular microsecond or whatever is the key that's unlocking something for the destiny that we have 10 years, 20 years, 5 years, 30 years, whatever it is, down that path that God has us on. So it benefits us not to give to get, but to give to show the love of Christ and to be honoring Him in our actions and the things that we do. I mean, she did not want to leave her mother-in-law. After the sons were died, she wanted to stick with her, and she was rewarded. Esther's bravery, Queen Esther, risked her life by approaching the king unsummoned to plead for her people, the Jews, trusting that God would use her courage to save them. We find Paul's mission, tirelessly preach the gospel, remaining faithful again to his mission, despite the intensity of the persecutions that he endured. If one guy could have left the whole thing and said, I'm done with this, Paul could have been one of those guys too, right? Said, I've tried this, God. This is not working out well. I've tried to be your spokesperson here, but these people are not listening. Matter of fact, the more I share, the more irate they get. The more I'm sharing, they're throwing me in prisons day after day. I got to go serve another term. Here we go again. Thank you, Lord, for that. No, he did it willingly. He did it with the understanding that that was his charge of responsibility. That's what he was to do, that God had placed within him. And he took it wholeheartedly. We got to do that with God ourselves. We got to take what he has asked us to do and take it wholeheartedly to where if you go through persecutions, if you go through hardships, if you go through problems, health-wise, whatever the case is, a lot of it is we look at ourselves and a lot of things health-wise seems to be a struggle for many people, right? And we know this body is a body that does kind of eventually kind of wear down. I mean, you can have the best rubber band, but after it's been stretched how many times, there's not much elasticity in it anymore, right? Joints and muscles and ligaments and all these things that we put ourselves through. But how God designed and created and how these things function and do pretty well, as long as we don't go kind of crazy, you know, and put ourselves out there maybe to where we are not taking care of ourselves, or that we do risky things. But I'm saying this body that God has put within us in our body, it does do and function a lot. And as long as we take care of it and do these things, He wants us to remain faithful. He wants us to continue on into being active and producing for Him well into our 40s, our 50s, our 60s, our 70s, our 90s, 100, No, at 95, you may not be doing as much as you did when you're 25. That just makes common sense to me. I don't know about you guys. But yet you're still functioning. You're still doing. And that's why we say When we serve God, I don't care if it's a pastor or if you're just saying, I'm a child of God, you're going to be a child of God until he calls you home. And as a child of God, it says in his word, we are all ministers of the gospel, so we all got a job to do. And we have heard stories and shared a lot about people that have been bedridden, but they have been so faithful to God. They have been so faithful in what? Prayer. 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 That they almost notice, like, when that saint goes home, all of a sudden, no one is praying for that community like Sister So-and-so did for all of these 20 years or 30 years. She was a pillar of what she did for that of God. So you can, even if you're bedridden, you can be a prayer, right? I mean, God can use us. So it's just like we are going to continue to be used by God until he calls us home. In scriptures, we find profound moments of faith and significant failures. So we talked about Abraham, right? Often called the father of faith. Abraham is a primary example of faithfulness. He trusted in God and was credited to him as his righteousness in Romans 4, 20 to 21. I don't want to lose my place here because I think I want to go here. But Romans, and we've been through Romans. On 4:20. It talks about the promises granted through faith. Oh, my. Well, here we go. Okay, 4:13. Now I'm just, as I open this up. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promises made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Verse 15. And verse 16, Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of what? Faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Okay. In verse 17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, it's in brackets here, in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened, what? In faith. Your faith will strengthen you, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. In 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. My heading in verse chapter 5 talks about faith triumphs in trouble. So there we look at Romans 4, 20 to 21. In obedience is unknown. Obedience in the unknown, he obeyed God to leave his home and travel to an unknown land. But belief despite circumstances, he believed God's promise of a son, even his old age and with his wife being way beyond those years. The ultimate test was the willingness to offer his son as a sacrifice. So, let's see, I want to look at, with that, we look at Abraham's deceit, okay? It also looks at some of these wonderful people, Abraham, Moses, David, Peter. One hand, we're saying how faithful they were, right? Now I'm looking at Abraham's deceit. On two separate occasions, Abraham lied to his wife Sarah's identity out of fear, endangering her and showing a lack of trust in the protection of God. Genesis 12, 20. So he's a good guy, but then again, he has faults. Don't we find that with men? human, men, women. I mean, we are human. We want to proclaim. We want to do these things. But we still are in a physical body. We still have the natural material things around us that still can bombard us to the point that we've got to be willing to understand that we've got to guard ourselves, that these same things can happen to us. What about Moses? After patiently leading the Israelites for decades, what did he do when he was told about striking a rock for water? He did it one time and it worked, right? Then he needed water again. What did he do? He goes, well, I know how to do it. Uh-oh. Moses struck a rock in anger instead of speaking to God as God had commanded. The act of disobedience prevented him from entering the promised land. Your act of disobedience could keep you from progressing further into the promises that what God has for you, right? This is pretty serious stuff. We don't want to just be playing and dabbling the things with God and, oh, it's all good. This is seriousness, but we can also have fun. But we've got to know that the things that we become disobedient in could be the very thing that hinders us from receiving the fullness. And that's in Numbers 20. David sinned, committed adultery, and murder to cover it up. His subsequent repentance, however, led to a powerful psalm of confession and restored relationships with God. That of the murder and the cover-up in 2 Samuel, and then Psalms 32 and 51. We read the comeback from where they had fallen. We, in our lives, were all of sin. And we were our comeback initially was when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? We had our sins forgiven, and now we are cleansed with the watering of the Word. We're renewed. We are regenerated. We are righteousnesses like that of God's. God's righteousness is in us. And we're on this path. But along this path, we also have things that we've got to be accomplishing. And God expects these accomplishments on our part because of what He's accomplished for us. And He's saved you. He has saved me. Yes, for eternity in glory with Him. But there's also, I believe, a much bigger picture than that, or a picture similar to that, to say, but I've saved you for a purpose here. You can stomp your feet right here on this earth. We are here for a purpose upon this earth to do something for God. It's not just to enjoy life, go through it, have fun, get everything we want, and then move on. But even when you sin, but the main thing is to what? Confess. Repent. What about Peter's denial? One of Jesus' closest disciples, Peter, repeatedly, we've talked about this, denied knowing Jesus during his trial. Remember when we talked about the watch times throughout the nights and all the cock crowed hour, like that 3 a.m. I think it was. One of Jesus' closest disciples, Peter, repeatedly denied knowing Jesus during his trial, just as he predicted. His bitter weeping and later restoration served as a powerful example of forgiveness and redemption. How many here have been forgiven? How many here have been redeemed? How many is going to be forgiven in the future if you mess up? I believe it if I confess it. How many is going to be, I believe it, as long as I do what I'm to do? It's not like he had told us now, I know he says, now go and, he's told some of those that, you know, now go and sin not. You know, he knows we're gonna fall into some of that type stuff. Now, we got to be careful that as we begin to think things that are not godly, that's a bad thought, but don't put actions to the bad thoughts would help you from fulfilling a depth of a level of a sin that is really bad. You know, the sin comes about when you act upon it. The sin happens when you put activity to it, when you put power to it, when you put motive to it, whatever the case is. When we begin to think of these things, we need to quickly realize through God's Word to quickly lay them down, quickly pray to the Spirit, quickly begin to sing, quickly to pray to God, whatever the case is, and say, Lord, oh, get out of here, enemy. I'm gonna thank my God and begin to thank God, talk to God, visit with God. But anyway, we've got wonderful examples of these situations throughout the times. Matter of fact, in Hebrews, we're told about a race of faith, right? Verse 12, or chapter 12. But anyway, as we look in Hebrews, look at this. Faith at the dawn of history. And we know that 11 is the faith chapter. We understand in verse 3 that the worlds were framed by that. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Anyway, let's get to verse 4, Hebrews 11, 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What about Noah? By faith he, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to that of faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. By faith, he dwelt in the land of the promise in the foreign country. He was dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive, to bear a child. We go on and on, the faith chapter of Hebrews, just to find out the. And that's just some of those that are mentioned there. We've gone through others that we have talked about. Now, the faithfulness and unfaithfulness of biblical people can teach us some lessons. Lessons from faithfulness and unfaithfulness. We look at the people in the Bible and they teach us lessons. And that's what the Bible should be. We should learn from this instructions from God on our lives here upon this earth. How God was throughout the times of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and what the people accomplished and what they found out from God and what God did for them. God's faithfulness is constant. Okay? Human unfaithfulness does not nullify God's faithfulness. You can be unfaithful all you want, but God is going to be God, and he is going to have his faithfulness. His nature, God, is unchanging. His promises, they are reliable. Romans 3:3-4. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. So, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Will that unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? No. How many people out there don't believe in God right now? Does that nullify God? Does that nullify what our faith is in God and what God is for us? No. What about growth through struggles? The imperfections of these figures that we have talked about, these biblical figures, these biblical people, they show that the faithfulness is a process of growth. It's a choice that we do repeatedly. It's not just a one-time thing and done. Our faith continues to develop. Our faith continues to grow. And I believe as we go through these things, we learn by faith so that we can, when the next challenge comes that might be a little more difficult, we're going to build our faith again off of the faith we've already had and recalling back what God has already done in our lives. It's good to look at the biblical instances, but it's really powerful to look at your personal life and to see where God has built your faith and where God has come through in your life situations. Has anybody here got a testimony where God was in your life at a pristine time, at a time that was needed, and it was a developing time with Him, and it's actually put you to where now you are here today because of that? We don't know all these things in our past that have put us to where we're at today. Sometimes we might look at it as very incidental, but it could have been very profound to get us where we're at today. And so we just got to keep on keeping on, even though during times of struggle. Again, not just one time. It's a growth. Rewards and consequences. The Bible illustrates that faithfulness brings blessings. We look at that, blessings. Okay, rewards and consequences. So we find that as we are being faithful, there's consequences to that, which is good. Quickly, Matthew 25:21 talks about this. Matthew 25:21, his Lord says to him, "Well done, good and what? Faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into what? The joy of the Lord." Another area, and you probably want to just, 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapters 13 through that of 16, talks about the greatest gifts. And then it starts off in 13:1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love." That's that love chapter. You know, prophecies and tongues and things of that nature. But you can look at that as far as the rewards, and those are the consequences. The rewards are right there as we speak and as we do the things of what God has put before us. And then the last thing is this. It says, most men, in Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim each his own goodness or his own mercy. But who can find a faithful man? The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So, Proverbs 26. And then I'm going to look at James 4:4. In James 4:4, it talks about adulterers and adulteresses. "Do you not know that friendships with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Or do you think that the Scriptures says in vain, "The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he who gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Remember, we talked about that with the Tower of Babel. They were all one language. They could understand. There was unity. God said they had the ability within themselves to accomplish what they wanted to do, because God had given that. But they got to that high and mighty point to where we're going to build a tower so that we can have this monument basically for ourselves. And when God saw that happening and beginning to develop, what did he do? Caused them all to start babbling. Couldn't understand one another. And then it spread as far as languages around everything. But who would have known, had they not done that, where we would have been, right? The unity, and he said, they have the ability to do what they wanted to do, so I'm going to have to put a stop to it. Anyway, integrity matters. Faithfulness requires a person to be trustworthy and reliable to keep their promises and to remain loyal to God and also loyal to others. So it's not just God, but we get back to this whole thing of being showing love to people around us. That's the faithfulness and how we show our faithfulness to God. Love, all these things, how we exemplify that. But to remain loyal to God and others, and even when it's difficult. And there's some people out there that are very difficult, right? But to show that love and to be a help to them. But I hope as we've gone through this area of God's faithfulness and his truthfulness and looking at the human side of things, that God expects us to do that same thing, that we've got something to learn. And we've got to continue to master this. And we've got to continue to say, "Lord, help me. Help me, help me, so that I can be a better example of you." Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for so many, Lord, of helps that you give us and examples throughout your word of showing us how faithful you are and how you handle us. And Lord, as we are faithful to you, the blessings that come forth from that. And Lord, we thank you. And I just pray that we as individuals and that we as a corporate body would remain faithful in our following of you. And that you've placed us here for a purpose and a plan, corporately and as well as individually, as I look out and see individuals, Lord. And I don't know what you've got planned individually for each one here, but Lord, I just pray that we each one stay hooked up to you and that we continue to grow in that faithfulness to you. Father, we want to honor you and glorify you in the many things that you want us to do. Thank you for keeping us on this path that you have us on. Help us get back on when we lose our way as we quickly learn to repent. Lord, I just thank you again for this day and the plans that you have for it. I pray that they unfold in each one of our lives. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.